Hello, friends. On today's show, we found a planet. Butterflies have a bigger place to stay. We find a way to kill way less birds. And a Texas school finally emulates me. It's a start. And it's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Won't you take me down to Bunker Town?
Hi, Doug.
Doug,
would you like to go down to Funky Town, Doug?
You know, I have this map, and even though there's right on down
even though
there's to
James,
Funky Town.
Even though James Brown is planning right now, he starts singing
Lips Incorporated.
Lips Incorporated. Lips Incorporated. Thank you.
That's right. Fantastic. Don't test me on songs. What did we learn from last week?
You're good at songs.
Yes.
Yes. We got a good song later this week. Or later
this episode. Yep. Coming up.
Hi, you're listening to Two Beers In.
Yeah. In a tentacle porn bar.
It's a podcast where we go to dive bars.
Yeah.
And drink at them and then read stories and say, hey, man. What the hell's happening out there? I am your host, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying, surprisingly, a gin and tonic with a dash of Angostura bitters. And over there is my friend.
See, I expected something surprising out of that.
There's absolutely nothing surprising.
That's exactly
sorry.
What he likes. Surprise.
Not a thing.
There's no surprise. I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I'm drinking some kind of blonde. Didn't get. I think it's
good for you.
Yeah.
You know what, Monica? Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
And there's Doug over there.
And I have a McConaughey's.
Oh, good. Excellent. It's nice. The national beer of a great night. That's what it is. We've got four stories that we want to share with you, and in the Patreon, I'm going to talk about our selection of stories again because there was a term that I found out. That I now really want to talk about, but I don't want to talk about it here.
Okay.
So, you know.
Can we mix up the stories? Because you have the first two, and then I have the last two. So can we boy girl it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you start? You pick.
Okay. All right.
Well, all right. Okay.
All right, all right, all right.
All right.
Hey, give me my drink back.
As Doug's beer might say.
Yes.
All right.
So, here's some good news. In a sweeping 2019 study, Cornell University diagnosed the long-term loss of at least 29% of breeding adult birds across North America.
Mm-hmm.
More than 3 billion, with a B, birds.
Wow.
And the study authors call this a staggering loss. That suggests the very fabric of North America's ecosystem is unraveling.
Oh, boy.
So here's the good news.
Okay.
Collisions with human-made barriers, primarily glass and cars, are the leading cause of bird deaths. Hmm. Not windmills, okay?
Sure.
Especially for migratory birds that land in cities during their long journeys. Only cats kill more birds than glass windows. That is not the good news.
No.
The good news is that this can be avoided. So,
how do we do that?
It means that even if you and I never design a convention center, we have simple solutions at our fingertips for the problem that is literally right in front of our eyes.
Literally.
Literally, yes.
Yes.
First of all, put something on the glass.
Sure.
First thing to address is the windows because it's such a ubiquitous issue.
Yeah.
As the amount of glass in buildings continue to grow fast and new buildings continuously go up, the danger for birds keeps increasing. So DIY options for homeowners and renters could be as simple as closing the blinds.
Could you please close the blinds?
Or keeping screens on problematic windows. You can buy inexpensive film that leaves little vinyl dots or patterns on windows to deter birds. That's exactly what the Big Jacobs Center did in New Jersey, right across from Manhattan.
Yeah.
They put film on all of this glass with little dots on it, and it...
And not reflective either,
right,
just...
Yeah.
Okay.
And immediately decrease the number of birds.
Wow.
So I found this interesting. Philadelphia was the first city in the U.S. and maybe even the world to start monitoring and investigating bird collisions after bird watchers noticed dead birds around City Hall's tall lighted tower in 1897.
Wow.
Yes.
And so they're just now getting to doing something about it.
And that's where all the passenger pigeons congregated.
Yes, there was a bunch of passenger pigeons.
What's going on?
Also, them's good eating.
Yes. Notably, so, Chick-fil-A has record profits.
Chicken, pigeons. Who's noticing?
It's called squab. Okay. All right.
Collisions tend to occur more frequently with migratory birds such as songbirds, woodpeckers, owls, and raptors.
Raptors,
yes.
Yes.
Pattern or coated glass allows them to evade collisions. Putting vegetation and bird feeders close to windows is another deterrent, giving avian migrants a place to land instead of continuing at full speed toward the glass. DIY solution number two, lights out. Birds easily get disoriented by excessive lighting. Since 1999, the Audubon Society has been partnering with cities and building owners, urging them to turn off or at least limit unnecessary lights, especially during migratory seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Lights Out Initiative saves birds, energy, and money for both residential and commercial building owners.
I'd like to believe that when you're talking about birds in this specific instance, it's what the British call young ladies. It's like,
oh, yeah,
so birds are easily disoriented by excessive lighting.
Anyway. They're drawn to it, like moths to flames.
Quit
birds.
Running into the window, you birds.
Does this mean the end song's going to be poisoning pigeons in the park?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Cool.
No, no. DIY number three, plant native plants. To help counter the disappearance of bird habitat, Russell emphasizes the importance of planting native plants that native birds often depend on. This is a real problem in urban areas because people target ground vegetation for removal, leaving the birds nowhere to land or find food.
Yep.
Four, stop calling your pest management company. Most pesticides don't distinguish between beneficial and annoying insects. Studies report a decline of 75% in the biomass of flying insects over the last 25 years.
Wow.
Bugs make up most of birds' diets, and our yard is now bustling with orioles, warblers, and the occasional hawk.
And parrots. Okay, keep going.
Parrots, they just don't understand.
Yep.
Number five, keep your cat indoors. Cats are the biggest bird killers. No way. Cats are the biggest bird killers, responsible for wiping out a third of birds.
Yeah.
These deaths could be prevented by keeping cats indoors
or
at the very least neutering and spaying them and sabotaging their hunting skills by placing a bell on their collar.
Yes.
Oh,
which I do with Missy.
So now we need to get bells on the five other cats that are around my house.
The problem is Missy does have a bell nonetheless. I heard a tremendous commotion of her coming in through the open door of the catio and mm-hmm. into the house.
Mm-hmm.
I came around towards the bedroom to interfere with whatever was going on.
Whatever she's bringing in.
And she had in her mouth, very gently, a female cardinal. And I was like, no, they mate for life. And I took it out of her mouth and took it outside. And the male cardinal's up in a tree.
He was like, what
was
the
like,
hell?
Hey.
That's my woman.
And I let it go, and it flew away. they've moved to a front tree now.
Sure they did. They're smart birds.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Yep.
Mr. and Mrs. Richelieu.
You know, it's the one thing that we didn't do, by the way? We didn't say where we are.
That's true.
I realized we were
so... Yeah, you set up the dive bar and you didn't actually call it
exactly.
The dive bar.
So we're at the dive bar.
It's an actual dive bar called
the dive bar.
The dive bar.
And it's off Guadalupe near downtown Austin. In fact, this is downtown Austin. I always think downtown is 6th Street.
Isn't it Guadalupe?
I don't...
Along the drag.
You know what?
I think it's called Fred.
Yeah, Carl. All right?
Okay.
Near the Scottish Rite Theater.
Steve. Yes.
Let me get to the second story. So yay, birds.
Birds.
Delicious.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the second story.
Okay.
Because also I think it fits a little bit better. The number of monarch butterflies overwintering this year in Mexico has nearly doubled, according to the annual census released last week by the World Wildlife Fund in Mexico and their partners. During the last few months in 2025, the population of eastern monarchs occupied 4.4 acres of central Mexico's forests, up from 2.22 acres during the previous winter. The encouraging survey was conducted with help from Mexico's National Commission of Protected Natural Areas and local communities, and it serves as an important indicator of the health of a monarch population that has been clawing its way back from dangerously low levels this century.
I've had a hard time picturing monarchs clawing, but okay.
I did. So, like, in between this paragraph and the next paragraph, I edit these.
Yeah.
There was an edit saying, hey, click here to hear what a million butterflies sound like. And I listened to it, and I was going to put it on here as a thing, and I'm like, it doesn't sound like anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's the wind. You don't even hear a flapping.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not enough for me to put
subtle.
On here. And
it's too subtle.
Yeah, it's too subtle.
So I'm conflicted. We got rid of the birds, so they're not eating the monarchs. Who am I rooting for now?
The bees.
The bees.
Okay.
All right. No birds, just bees. Got it.
It's now time to turn this year's increase into a lasting trend with all hands approach, where governments, landowners, conservationists, and citizens continue to safeguard critical habitats along the monarch's North American migratory route, said, I'm guessing it's Jorge Ricards, a director of the WWF Mexico, who recognized the key role.
Get that monarch!
Wait, hold on. Let me do this again. I'll just do the last. Citizens continue to safeguard critical habitats along the monarch's North American migratory route, brother. Okay, moving on. As soon as you guys started laughing, I'm like, okay.
By WWF, we meant World Wildlife Fund. World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for not being me that always messes up those words. Scientists attribute much of this year's population growth to better weather conditions in 2024. Surprisingly, there was better weather conditions in 2024?
Well, for monarchs.
Only around monarchs.
Just for monarchs. God bless them. With less severe drought in previous years along their migratory route from the U.S. to Canada to Mexico. The second report shows that forest degradation in the biosphere reserve where they overwinter has improved by 10%. Between April 2023 and February 2024, 9 acres of forest were damaged, down from 10 acres. Wow.
Well, we'll soon change that.
Yeah.
We can fix that.
It's like, hey, Mexico, get on it.
Yeah.
The causes of habitat degradation were either illegal logging, natural causes, or drought, or the removal of trees to prevent disease spread. Okay, well, that's only a half an acre. It's amazing to think that, like, 6 acres is there where they all go.
Yeah.
To 6 acres.
Yeah, they have a very limited habitat.
one more. Thanks.
Give me a drink.
We were trying to do thing by signal, and I realized I have to say words out loud. The numbers
not your strong suit.
No. What? The numbers of these hardy yet delicate flyers have jumped and dipped. Okay, we got that. There are many ways you can help this species thrive in North America, but one of the best is to plant milkweed. The milkweed plant is essential for the monarch. It is the only plant on which they lay their eggs. As spring arrives, the butterflies start their migration back north, seeking out milkweed to lay their eggs. They also need nectar plants to eat themselves. They also need nectar plants to eat themselves.
I can't wait to see these plants
look at that
eating
sentence.
Themselves.
That sentence.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yep.
The AI failed.
They also need nectar plants to eat. The end. Yeah. Your small action can make a big difference. Use this milkweed map, which is not here. Every year, monarch butterflies make an extraordinary journey. Oh, yeah, we know that. We read all of this already.
Are you sure you edited these?
Yes, I did. The next 3 to 5 generations, each living only 3 to 5 weeks, continue. So, they get a certain distance, they and die. And then 3 weeks and die until they get up north. See, I didn't know how that
how
works.
How many times do they die?
I mean... But it's like
butterflies
are
born,
they become, yes. And then they fly. They're like, we'll get 3 to 5 weeks, and then what? Fuck it. This is as far as I don't
as
know why
far
I keep
as we
having,
go.
It sounds like the butterfly
so
quickening.
So truly is.
Where are we? Wisconsin.
It is ancestral memory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put a little map in the eggs.
Yes. So as they're turning into goo into a thing, that's where you go.
Assassin's Creed. Butterfly.
Yeah.
Follow the dipper.
Eventually, they reach breeding sites in the North United States and Canada, completing the annual migration cycle. So it really is just like...
Yeah.
And I'm once again talking with my hands.
With your hands, which is always good in an audio medium.
Sometimes talking is hard. So, yeah.
That would explain why you have an asparagus toddy.
That is the thing that I don't understand. I didn't know. I thought maybe they lived long enough to make the trek.
Nope.
But they don't.
I've never seen Mexico.
Yes. I've heard of this place. It's only 6 acres, but I tell you, it's glorious.
Look, there it is. No, that's south of the border.
Yeah. And the salmon are all like, where are you going?
That's
yeah.
South of the border, South Carolina.
So we're going to find them in the wall?
They're in New Mexico. They're like, where the hell are we? This place is new? All right, Monica, you get the next one.
All right. Why a Texas school let its lawns grow wild. This one's for Brett.
Oh, that was mine?
No, this story
no,
is for
me.
It's for you.
Are you? Is it because I don't mow my lawn?
Because you don't mow your lawn.
She doesn't like your beard.
No. You know what, Doug? I trimmed it today before I came over here.
When Jefferson Early Learning Center first opened on the corner of a busy intersection in Houston's West Side in 2022, school officials started receiving calls from irritated residents. It wasn't the increase in traffic or the noise from loud preschoolers that was the source of the callers' ire. It was the wild, unkempt landscaping. Residents wanted to know, why aren't you cutting your lawn? Why aren't you keeping the grounds? Hilda Rodriguez, the Assistant Supervisor of Support Services for the Alief Independent School District.
Alief, yeah.
Home to Jefferson and nearly 50 other schools west of Houston.
Hold on. I hear this, and I hear my father-in-law, who was mayor of a town. Our joke is always, will someone think of the little children? Because city council meetings, he would always get that. And so for he and I now, it's been years. Will someone think about the little children?
Although Jefferson's neighbors didn't know it, the tall grass surrounding the Early Learning Center was part of a larger strategy to mitigate climate-related issues in a county where a major flood occurs nearly every 2 years.
Yep.
And the number of days at or 95 degrees has significantly increased over the past 25 years. Mm-hmm. In addition to choosing durable, impact-resistant materials to help the school building withstand natural disasters, Jefferson's designers focused on the surrounding land. They chose to restore much of the ground's nearly 20 acres to native prairie lands and wetlands, mm-hmm. creating a habitat for more than 200 plant and animal species.
Yeah.
That sort of habitat is especially beneficial in an area vulnerable to climate change effects, such as the torrential rains that regularly hit the city. By putting native prairies and grasses in, we can now actually absorb 3 to 4 times as much water as if we had manicured grass.
Yep.
Let's see. Vast majority, they were asking for things like HVAC systems, misting systems, air filtration systems, shade structures, turf, because they couldn't maintain their lawn anymore because of the cost of water
or,
was being too high.
Yeah.
Or too much water.
Yeah.
Do the extreme levels of climate-related need LIIF, L-I-F, a low-income investment fund. Recently partnered with other organizations to launch a program to help renovations for child care providers in Harris County, where Houston is located.
Yep.
So they're putting the children out there?
Yep.
Do
yes.
they go back and get them?
Make them learn.
Come on, they
got to
figure it out.
Yep.
Corn maze hell. Let's see them get out of this.
Over the next few years, Tumbao, the architect, hopes the presence of prairies and grassland, rather than concrete or other surfaces that are known to reflect heat, will pay long-term dividends in an overall heat-challenged area.
Yeah. It's funny. My friend Hillary, who is a landscape architecture for the Texas Department of Transportation, is doing this very same thing. That the whole joke that I had made originally of the flags that are on Mopac,
yeah.
that are distracting,
yeah.
that's what this is.
That's what that is.
Yeah,
nice.
Because I had said all the blue bonnets. She goes, well, no, the blue bonnets are going to still be there, which they are, by the way. They just came up.
Oh yeah, I love blue bonnets.
But the plants is all like seagrass, and that's all native plants that are going to help keep erosion from happening instead of just having, because the blue bonnets are great and the other flowers that come out are great, but then 6 months out of the year it's grass and mud
and or worse concrete.
Yes
Oh, thank God seagrass will cure all of the ecological damage we did.
Yes, it's all, well, you do one thing. I mean, every day you try to do one thing. You can't change, you know, you can't change everything.
Yeah, you can't change history.
So change one thing that you can and then go, cool, the next, and then 100 years from now, we're dead and somebody's got something cool. So
yeah.
That's why guns, right?
Yep.
Mopac will be covered by
saves
then.
The environment.
Yeah. It'll
have an upper deck, and so all of those plants will be shaded.
They're upper decking. All right.
Right. It'll look like Fallout 4.
Yes. Our last story. So we're going to outer space.
Okay.
As we do.
You and Elon have a deal?
I don't know. Do we?
I am not Elon. I don't care what I look like.
I wish you quit putting your hand up like you keep doing.
Oh, man. So. It's dangerous. Dude. Stop that.
Wait, is that a federal employee? I got to go.
No, more like he's got to go.
He's got to go.
Where's the bat? There we go. Get him.
Astronomers have identified 4 exoplanets orbiting the nearest single star to Earth, an effort that has been ongoing for 50 years and produced many false positives. These rather small planets are a stone's throw away from Earth in galactic terms, but they're too small for previous instruments to detect. So thank you, Webb. I'm guessing it's the Webb.
Probably the Webb.
Yeah. Barnard's star is a low-mass red dwarf just 6 light years from Earth.
Yeah,
discovered
that's not
in
the closest Proxima. Is 4.1.
I know. 1916. You want to read this?
No. I mean,
And astronomers have long wondered if there were, if it could be planets orbiting it, just like there are in our solar system. There are two conventional ways to look for exoplanets. Okay, let's just get to the point. So, astronomers can use the radial velocity method, which looks for wobbles in the star's position caused by gravity of an orbiting exoplanet gently tugging at it. Of course, yeah, we know that.
Or there are three beers in.
Yes.
Yes.
It's quite wobbly. It's really exciting to find Barnard's star is our cosmic neighbor, and yet we know so little about it, said Ritvik Bastan, a doctoral student of astronomy. It signals a breakthrough with precision of these new instruments from previous generations. So the worlds are referred to as sub-Earths because, you know, meaning they have...
That?
We've got the best Earth.
Yeah. That's right.
Yours is grody.
Yeah. Meaning they have a much lower mass than Earth, in this case between 19% and 34% of our planet's total size. They're likely uninhabited rocks due to their... Well, yeah. To their positioning around star.
We think.
Well, and it's a red dwarf that they're orbiting, yeah. So... Well,
yeah, but they still think if there's a habitable zone, red dwarfs would actually be a better thing because they are so stable over long periods of time.
But aren't they much cooler?
They are. You have to be closer, but there's still a habitable zone. It's just closer in.
Okay. Okay.
They're way cooler.
Oh, well, when compared to our solar system, each of the four planets are inside the distance of Mercury's orbit.
Yeah.
Doug, Elon.
What? What does this say?
No, I don't know. But it was like proving your point. It's
yeah,
like,
I know. What?
Damn it. I don't know why I'm mad at you about this. This means on the closest one, it takes 3 days to complete a year. And even the farthest one takes 7.
Damn.
Wow. They're like,
That'll blow your hat off.
They're like,
big
whoa!
Time.
Whoa! Everybody's got their arms up. They live with their arms up in the air. Here we go.
We got another picture. We got another picture.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the method they used.
They were detected using the radial velocity method with Maroon X, an instrument mounted to the Gemini North Telescope in Hawaii that's designed to search for exoplanets around red dwarf stars, the smallest kind of living star. Yes, we know that.
Is the Maroon X related to the Mach 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
The Racer X star.
Absolutely.
Long lost brother. instead, and perhaps contrary to intuition, these sorts of sub-Earths are believed to be more highly varied in composition than larger worlds, of which well over 5,000 have been officially documented. So, what did it say? 7 light years?
It's 6. Yeah, it's 6 about 6. Yeah.
And Proxima is how close?
Proxima is about 4.2.
Okay.
Okay, so have you ever seen Three Body Problem?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we're going to bring it in, but basically Three Body Problem is Alpha Centauri, Beta Centauri, and Proxima Centauri are a three-star system. That's their closest neighbor.
Right.
That's the dog star. And the problem is, with those kinds of orbits and everything, they probably eject all the planets.
Oh, I see.
Which is actually part of what leads into the storyline of the...
Get out of here.
Right, as they're trying to build a civilization, but it keeps blowing up because these stars have three stars going at the same time.
Yeah.
So when you said that the closest star had them, I was like, how? That was the whole point of they can't keep planets.
And that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, Barnard's star. Okay, that's like the second closest.
Clever segue into, hey, you know where you can find
all your favorite stars?
I like your work.
Yeah.
Two beers in.
I'm all about it.
Go to patreon.com/2beersin, where you can enjoy all of the things of we talk about after this and help us stay afloat. We appreciate you. We
appreciate in a dive bar.
In a dive bar. And by the way,
I like it.
The two owners that were here when I walked in, they've just subscribed to Two Beers In.
Oh, how nice. Fantastic.
Yes. So we're very happy with that. So come out to the dive bar off Guadalupe. Did I say it right this time, Monica?
Yes.
Yes. Near the University of Texas.
Guadalupe and Texans, Guadalupe
yes.
and Mexicans.
Yes. So, yes, do all of that. Subscribe, be a part, email us, do the whole thing.
Thank you for your support.
Yes, and thank you for your service.
Yes. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Brett.
So, Monica.
Yes.
I set up the song like you asked me to.
Yeah.
Did you see that I also put a little bit of show notes in there?
I did not.
If you look at the thing.
Look at the drive.
Yep. And then okay. open it up, just like. She was already on to something else. You were on to something.
High score, Angry Birds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was there. And reading the... I didn't see your show notes.
Yes.
I was looking at the ones provided by YouTube.
Yes, and I thought I was a smarty boy, and I put in some show notes into there for the song.
I didn't see your show notes.
So if you go to the...
The description.
I know, this is fun.
This is content.
Yep,
yay!
It's content.
No, it just takes me to the link.
Okay, because right next to it... See, look, I'm going to show you on mine.
Doot. Okay.
Yeah, so I will talk about it then.
Okay.
Monica had sent me a link and said... Hey, why don't you play Life in a Northern Town? And I was like, you know, it's been a long time since I've heard that. And she said, hold on a minute. I'm going to give you, what if instead of the original people that sang it, what if the lead singer of the Moody Blues sang it instead?
Okay, I'm into it.
And I was like, you mean Justin Hayward? And she said, yes. We actually had this conversation.
Yes, we did.
And I said, well, that sounds really good. She goes, hold on. There's more.
But wait, that's right. There's more.
There's wait, before you order.
What if there was the London Philharmonic Orchestra backing him? I'm like, well, that would be a very Moody Blues type song.
Yes, it would.
And she said, well, not only that, but now my screen just went black.
Order now. Thing. Get the free turnip twaddler.
Yes. What if Michael Batt directed said orchestra? And I was like, I'm into it. And so I listened to it. I loved it. We're going to play that on our way out of here.
And this is their first time working together since they collaborated on War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite albums from the 1970s.
My friend, my buddy Bruce and I used to play that on in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah.
KUHT?
KPFT.
KPFT.
It just took me a while. Sorry, it's been 30 years. So
I remember first hearing that War of the Worlds rendition on the album Rock Station out of Raleigh.
Yeah.
My friend Steven and I would study to the album Rock Block or whatever, and it was kind of like, hey, tonight's feature album. It's a brand new one from Justin Hayward, Moody Blues, War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And they started this thing, and we had to stop studying. It was kind of like, I can't study to this. This is amazing. And
music like that makes EK aggravated because she's like, I'm drawing, and now I have to pay attention to this.
But yeah, it's been 40 years since Dream Academy came out with Life in a Northern Town.
Yeah.
40
That's unreal.
Years.
40 years.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this release is almost to the day. Mm-hmm. When it was first released.
Wasn't it like 3 days ago this thing was released?
I think it was.
Yeah.
It still stands up today. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Yes.
I know we did.
I have been your host, Brett Weaver. I'm still enjoying a second now gin and tonic with Angostura Bitters.
I'm Monica Ballard. I'm still enjoying the same pale blonde ale.
We got right a show here. Later.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I'm almost done with my second McConaughey's, and boy, these have some alcohol in them.
Thank you, Elon. And so, thank you for listening. Listen to this. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Right.
Thank you. A Salvation Army band played, and the children drank lemonade, and the morning lasted all day. And through an open window came, like Sinatra in a younger day, pushing the town away. Sat on the stony ground, and he took a cigarette out, and everyone else came down to listen. He said in winter 1963, it felt like the world would freeze with John F. Kennedy and the Beatles. In a northern town.
Hey, mama, mama. Hey, mama, mama, hey, Naya. Hey, mama, mama, hey.
Oh, the work shut down.
Hey, mama, mama.
The evening turned to rain. Watch the water roll down the drain. And we followed him down to the station. Though he never would wave goodbye, you could see it written in his eyes as the train rolled out of sight. Bye. In a northern town.
Hey, mama, mama. Hey, mama, mama. Hey, Naya. Hey, mama, mama. Hey.
All of the work shut down.
Hey, mama, mama.
Make it easy on yourself.
Hey.